School choice, by far, that's what everybody keeps talking about. We finally had two school choice bills drop yesterday. So they are now available online to read and look at. And so everybody's finally getting a taste of what is what's going to be going through the committees. They haven't had hearings yet, so that will still happen, and they still have to pass through committees. But one is on the House side and one is on the Senate side. Otherwise, there's just a lot of, you know, cleanup. I think it was a year or so ago, the governor made an executive order to the agencies to clean up their rules, get things moved to statute, get rid of, you know, duplicitous rules and things that didn't make sense. So we've been spending a lot of time just cleaning things up, which is good. It'll make us more efficient, and that helps reduce costs, and that's a positive. But a lot of busy work the last couple of weeks. But now we have 45 bills in the House, and there's about 25 in the Senate that are have been introduced and are now, you know, moving through the process. So we're starting to have more things to actually debate and discuss.
I imagine you have a lot of reading to do every night.
Yes. And it's just the stack gets bigger and bigger every day.
What are some of the biggest concerns surrounding school choice?
You know, we had a lot of teachers here on Monday. It was Martin Luther King Day, and they came over on their day off and spent time with us. It was really nice to meet them and talk to them. I think if you were in public education, you're not in favor of the school choice bills that are being presented. And I think if you don't like public education, then you are in favor of it. And it seems to be the two camps. The Boise State survey came out last week and showed that 53% of Idahoans don't want public dollars going towards private or religious schools. So it's that whole narrative, and how are you going to spin your point of view to try to persuade and convince others that what you want is what everybody else wants. But I would say it's kind of split. I believe the school choice bill on the House side is going to go through the Rev and Tax Committee. There's 15 members on that committee, and I would suspect it'll be 8-7, but I don't know which way it'll swing. But it's going to be very tight. And people are just, everybody kind of has their opinions, and they've already, in a lot of ways, many have already decided.
That's what I have kind of come to understand, as there has been a lot of conversation about this. One thing is perfectly clear. There's a lot of passion surrounding this, and people on both sides of this seem to have really just planted their feet firmly, and they know which way they're going. So swinging people is going to be a tricky proposition, I would imagine.
Yes, I think so too. And a lot of it has to do with people's interpretations and definitions. So for example, Representative Horman's bill that's coming through the House, I was able to read through that yesterday, top to bottom. And there is no provisions for accountability to private schools whatsoever. In fact, towards the end of it, it explicitly says that a non-public school shall not be required to alter its creed, practices, admissions policies, or curriculum in order to accept students whose payments of tuition or fees stems from the tax credit. So it even goes a step further and says there will be no, you know, accountability. Representative Horman believes that accountability lies with the parent. If the parent's not happy with the education their child is getting, they remove their child from the school. That is the ultimate accountability. So that's her interpretation of accountability. Whereas on the Senate side, the bill expands the Empowering Parents Grant and allows for tuition to be used, or the dollars to be used towards tuition, but only if those schools that the dollars are going to meet the same guidelines as the public school. So there's specific accountability guidelines in there. On the Senate side, it also creates a red tape provision to help reduce the regulatory burden that schools have in reporting. And it also includes roughly $60 million to help with special education in the schools. So it's addressing more than just one problem. Giving money to the less fortunate in our society who need to take their kids elsewhere but maybe can't afford it, and also giving money to the schools to help with a lot of their gaps and shortfalls. So I think it really depends on what your interpretation of accountability is and what you want. And that seems to be the debate here, is what is that?
And I would tend to believe that you're going to hear from a lot of families wanting to testify, feeling very strongly for one reason or another. One of the things that I have heard coming up quite a lot is that families who have children with some special needs feel they need that flexibility to be able to choose a school that's going to best meet their students' needs.
Right. Absolutely. And the hard thing for me is I don't know if it will matter how many people come and testify in those committee meetings, because most of the legislators seem to already have made up their mind.
And
so it will be interesting.
It will be interesting. And one thing that I'm pretty certain of is there's going to be some powerful storytelling. That's one thing, Representative, that I have really noticed is that people are deeply connected to this issue. And I think you've hit it right on the head. It does come down to how do you interpret this and what does accountability really mean to you? No doubt it's going to be pretty close.
Right. The thing that I struggle with on this whole bill, and I've been supportive of our public schools. I wish that we were doing more for them. And I understand and sympathize with families who need to send their kids to different schools, and it costs them a lot of money to do that. But this bill, in my opinion, it doesn't really help those people. It gives $5,000 to a student who's going to go to a school that costs $7,000. And they have to wait until the end of the year to get any of that money, so they've got to carry it. And if you're under 300% of the federal poverty level, meaning a family of four making less than roughly $90,000 a year, which after taxes means you're bringing home about $65,000, you really can't afford to carry a few hundred bucks a month. You're scraping for every dollar you have. So are we really helping those children who need to go to a different form of education, or are we just kind of helping the people who are already doing it? And that's the thing that I've been frustrated with in this process. If we're going to do this, then let's do it right. But the bottom line is I don't believe that anybody truly wants to do it. They just want to do something so they can say they did something.
Have there been some discussions, Representative, about maybe strengthening special education within our current public school system?
I don't know for sure. I know that it comes up often. I know that Senator Lentz's bill in the Senate does that. It does strengthen special education funding and helps in that regard. I would really encourage anybody who's following this to go to the legislature website and to pull up both of those bills and just read through them. The summaries are good, helps you get an idea of what they're trying to accomplish. You don't have to read the whole bill if you don't have time. But I think that both bills are trying to solve a problem that both sides see in their interpretation of that problem. And it'll be interesting to see which one wins.
It certainly will be. Well, Representative Ben Furman, thank you for taking time out to get us up to speed, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Jolynn.
Thank you. Bye-bye.